morning we're in prayers, lesson 6, and we had gotten down to verse 94. We had just discussed the first 3, do not forsake me, do not hide or conceal your word, or either, what, do you not have a lesson? Okay, lesson 6. Let me see what I got, Noni. In the prayers that we were doing, we got to 41 and 43, 2 thoughts. I was so thankful that Pat reminded me of something that I had on my notes and didn't even mention, was about not taking your word out of my mouth, is that, you know, don't let me stop looking at, believing in, wanting to know, seeking, that kind of thing, and obeying it. And then the other, from other passages in the psalm, let me speak, you know, I believe, therefore I speak. We see throughout the Bible, and Paul said, I believe, therefore I speak, and he was quoting. And so we need to be aware that maybe we have a responsibility to teach others God's word. So don't take it. Let's be of a mind not only to seek God's word for ourselves, but to share it. But both considerations, I think, fit the psalm in that he is seeking to know, teach me, you know, let me understand. So are some of the prayers. And so did I present your thoughts correctly? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Now, verse 94. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. What do you think the Lord, what do you think is being asked? This is a prayer. What do you think he's saying here? You know, save me, deliver me, give me victory. It can even mean avenge.
He's seeking his goodwill.
Yeah. Okay. Let's look at verse 146 along with that. And we're going to see also in 134, 153, and 154, and 170, all of them are talking about deliverance there and things. But in 146, I cried to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. Throughout, I just wanted to add that because throughout the psalm, he's saying, save me, deliver me, you know. Okay, so we're going to see, as we go through Daniel, that, you know, there's 2 kinds of saving. He was being oppressed. Save me from my oppressors, we're going to see in another verse. But there's also, if it's not in this life, if I'm not delivered from my troubles, from my oppressors, from my tribulations, from my afflictions, you know, God's word will lead us to salvation for the next. We see it both ways. We see Daniel being saved from the lion's mouth. We see others being saved from their enemies. But then we also see saints under the throne of God crying out for revenge, you know, for him to avenge them because they died for the cause of Christ. They were not saved from that physically. But where are they? They're under the throne of God eternally. So how did we start this psalm? Blessed are those. It's spiritually well-being. It's prosperous for you to have the testimonies, whether for this life, to live your life right, or to be saved eternally by God's right, by God's mercy and grace. So, save me, for I have sought your precepts. Deliver me. So, anything that anybody added when they saw that verse, with the surrounding context and what we've learned so far with his attitude toward the Word. Anyone?
Well, I've lived in Wesley Pines. I tried with all my heart. You know, when we're really searching, we can't be just searching for things to support what we think. We're searching for God, how God wants us.
Exactly, exactly. And we will, that's a very good comment. It depends on what you're searching for, the heart that you've got, what you're looking for to understand what God means and everything, instead of looking to verify what we want or to find something that's going to make us feel a little better because we're in this situation, you know, other than God's Word. So, very good. 116. Now, let's pass that one right now. Let's go to 134. Because we're on this subject, 134 says, redeem me from oppression. That I might keep your precepts. Deliver, rescue. Is it okay to ask God, from your understanding of Scripture and from this psalm and from prayers that you've uttered and been answered, just a question. Is it okay to ask God to deliver you from something? You got the trust. He's got the power. He's got the means. It may be by His Word. It might be by opportunity. It may be somebody else entering your life just in order to carry out His will. And so, deliver. I think here in 134, redeem me from oppression, that he's talking about the constant situation that he's in from his oppressors and from his affliction. I think he's asking God to help him deal with it, or help him, you know, do something about it, God. Execute judgment. We're going to see that. About avenging. Execute judgment on them, whether in then or later. How many psalms did David write asking God to avenge him? Get rid of the evil people. And he was led by the Holy Spirit. I don't think he was off on some tangent. You know, sometimes we can take anger out and, you know, ask God sometimes to, out of anger for things that may not be right. But evidently, it's okay to ask God to deal righteously with, in judgment, and maybe not in the final judgment. He will do that. But He has raised and He has lowered nations. He has raised kings and lowered kings. He has humiliated them and put them down. He does that. That's his business. So we just have to leave it to him. Any thoughts on that about redeeming? Let's look at 84. That's why I brought that up. In verse 84 in this psalm, how many of the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? How long, God, do I have to put up with this? In other words, do something. Of course, Habakkuk got, I am doing something, but you ain't going to like it. So, you know, that's God's business on what he's doing. And we don't know sometimes how he's working. but he has brought down nations. And he has stopped people. He's even taken people out of my life. Whether by a move, or by their move, or by other situations. Verse 58. Let's look at 58. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according. He's asking for grace. He's asking for favor. Be gracious to me. And in 61, the cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. He still looks back to the law for comfort. They're circling. He's afflicted, but he keeps looking back to God's law. Doesn't stop him from praying and asking God's help in outside the word to help him. But he keeps looking back for comfort to the law to help him endure. Any thoughts on that? Anything about the redeem there that you wanted to add or change? That's okay. In verse 153 and 154, he's still praying about this. I'm putting them together because I didn't on your sheet. In 153 and 154, look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me, revive me according to your word. Someone want to tell me what they think he's talking about here?
King James says, consider mine affliction and deliver me. So he's asking God to consider all the things that have happened to him.
And consider the love that he has for his truth and for how he tries to live by that. I've sought with all my heart. You know, consider, look, God. You know, you think God didn't see? But here he's in his mind. God, I know you're there. I trust you. Please consider, you know, look at how I love you. Help me. Does it mean that God's grace is to be bought or bargained for? No. But consider and rescue me. Plead my cause. What do you think plead my cause means there?
I'm not exactly sure, but all of this is connected back to his law.
Yes.
I do not forget your law.
Right.
They do not seek your statutes. In verse 54, revive me according to your word.
Yeah.
So I don't know that he is expecting God to come down and do something. That, you know, when you're in their law, when there were people who were not living by the law, there were things that should have taken place.
Yeah.
There were things put in place to punish the wicked.
Yes.
And so I don't know. I wonder if it's not, you know, asking God to come down and do something to himself, but according to your precepts, according to your words. And so we think in the verse 160, he said, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. So it's through his word that he's, and because of his word that he's working.
Yeah.
This
I had Psalm 35:1, which says, contend. This is a Psalm of David. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Whether it's through his word or through providence, it's up to God and to how he deals with that. But throughout scripture, either by the word or the government that's set up or whatever, he's asking that it be done. But to redeem is to buy back, to deliver from, those kind of things.
35:1, Psalm 35:1, where it says, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me, fight against those who fight against me. Second, I think it was 2 Samuel.
Yes.
2 Samuel 24:15.
Yeah.
It sounded like he was pleading with God to judge between him and his enemies.
And his enemies.
Right.
Yes. Any other thoughts? In 170, let my supplication come before thee. In other words, hear my prayer. We know God hears prayers. We know God answers prayers. And deliver me. That's in verse 170. Okay, let's go back up then to 116 and 117. Sally, would you read 116 and 117? It's next under 94 on your list here.
Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be saved, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually.
So what do you think he's praying for here?
Possibly to just be able to endure what he's going through. Hold him up. Keep his head above water.
Support him up. That's right. Hold him up. Help me endure. This is what I wrote down. Lift me up. Revive. Like Susan said, keep me above water, keep me going, keep me afloat. Verse 28 says, strengthen, up in verse 28. It's the same thought here. But it all goes back to my soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. It goes back to his love, devotion, and meditation upon God's word. And how it helps him to cope with what he is suffering. And he even prays about that. And so, you know, I know we've all been in situations, you know, we're fixing to look at a verse that says, help me according to your loving kindness. Help me according to your word, you know. And so we're trusting in God. So, and then in verse 121 and 122, he says, don't forsake me. Don't leave me. Don't abandon me to the oppressed, to the oppressors. Be surety for me, for my good or well-being. What do you think he's asking for here in 121 and 122? What's he asking protection from?
The crowd who are oppressing.
Yeah. Have you ever asked God to deliver you from some evil or to keep us from evil? Have you ever asked God to protect? You know, we hear prayers about our nation, you know, help our nation, protect our nation, keep our nation safe, keep us safe. We go on a trip, we're praying to God to watch over us, protect us, keep us from harm. You know, all of those things that sometimes we say, if this is not what this is talking about, I'm wrong. It's okay if I'm wrong. But he's saying, don't abandon me to the oppressors. Don't leave me in their hands. David asked for that. When he was at the hands of Saul. When his son is trying to take the throne. other instances. I can't imagine what Daniel was praying those three times in the tire, in the situation he was in, or when he was in the lion's den, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the middle of the fire. And here comes the angel. So, look at me, rescue me, plead my cause, deliver me, hear me. And then verse 173. Let's look at that. Lauren, would you read 173?
Let your hand return my help, for I have chosen your precepts.
What's he asking? Help me. Help me, Lord. Thy word to see, we sing that. He's already said that many times in the psalm. Teach me, let me understand. I seek it with all my heart. But then help me from my oppressors. Deliver me. God's word. Let's read 86. Bobby, do you want to read verse 86 and 88 or through 88? Okay. He's asking for help. And in verse 92, he says, if your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. He always points back to the word. It gave him comfort. It gave him encouragement, endurance, hope. And then there's God's providence. Your faithfulness, verse 90, continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. 114 in this psalm. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. 132. Turn to me and be gracious after your manner with those who love your name. I put that in there because God works in His time, in His way, with His power, with His will. That's all I know. And unless He tells me exactly what He's doing, like I'm going to send the Babylonians and you're not going to like it, I don't know sometimes what God has done unless He reveals it. But I do know one thing. Christ is coming back and judgment's coming. Now that we know. And the Word's going to judge us. And I do know that the Word will give us comfort and endurance. So, any thoughts on that? I think I'm going to take time for us to read Psalm 5. Pat, would you turn to Psalm 5 and let's read it together.
Chapter 5?
Chapter 5. Psalm 5. It's a Psalm of David.
Give ear to my word, O Lord, and consider my road. Heed the Sabbath, my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. Good morning, O Lord. You will hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells within me. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all of your iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will go to your house. At your holy temple, I will bow in reverence to you. O Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward heart is destruction, its death. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God. By their own devices let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out, for they are rebellious against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them hear. Let them ever sing the joy. And make shelter them, that those who love your name may exalt in you. For it is you who bless the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield.
Sort of sounds like some of our psalm, doesn't it? It sort of covers, you know, what we've been talking about. Who this God is we serve, that we can rely on him, that he won't stand for wickedness, that in his time he'll deal with it. And in his time, he is a shield around us, whether with his word, his providence, or his promise of eternity, his redemption. So we can have confidence in the God that we serve, even when we are afflicted with things in this life and we feel like we can't endure any longer. We have a God who knows, a God who listens, and a God who can act. Any thoughts before we go further? Number four, I have some other things on the page there. In your time, you can read that. Okay, number four. What are the dangers here in these verses? These are the dangers that he wanted to overcome. This is the prayers and stuff before that he had talked about. What are the dangers here? He wants help from God's word to fight against. Right. Verse 11, so I won't sin against you. And I didn't put that one down. But 10b, you know, wandering from God's commandment. Following false ways. How are you going to tell what's right and wrong if you don't read and study and meditate on what's right? Specifically, also, following after dishonest and vain things. Man, most of the world spend their wheels and all their time and money and effort following after vain things. He didn't want to fall into that. And right on the heels of that, it's not showing proper respect or reverence for God. Remember what he said in verse 2? Seeking God with all my heart. He didn't have one foot in seeking after God's righteousness and one foot in seeking after all the vain things and satisfying his lustly flesh with all the vain things in the world that world could hold. And he wasn't going to suffer all those consequences if he was going to do that. Proper reverence for God is not seeking those things, but putting God first and his righteousness. Remember what Jesus said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added to you. Not the vain things, but the necessary things. Any thoughts there? Anybody else have anything that you saw? What about not having a blameless heart. And what about his integrity? Did he want to hold his integrity? Remember when we studied that? That's in those verses. And of course, not praising God enough. Man, we can be guilty of that for not careful. In the last verse there. Not praising God enough and going astray. What chapter that Paul wrote talks about people who didn't give thanks to God as the Creator enough and what happened to them? Romans 1. Romans 1 is a prime example of people who didn't give God the proper praise, place as the Creator, giving thanks. You know, the Holy Spirit puts that in. They just didn't worship God as God. They didn't give Him thanks for what they were had. So He gave them over. They followed after vain things. And look what they became. It's a warning. Okay. What does He want instead? In all this song, and in these verses, what does He want? Number B, under 4.
And let your ordinances help me.
Okay. What verse is it? Okay. Hey, verse 5. What does verse 5 say? First prayer, he says in the book, in the song. Oh, that my ways may be what?
Directed to your statutes.
Established or directed to your statutes. Oh, that my ways may be established by God's word. Not to wander from His word. Verse 30. Walk in the faithful way. Remember all these benefits that we talked about? Verse 166, 174, salvation. He wanted salvation. 177, to praise God for His righteous word and for being His shield, verse 114. And others, that was just the ones that I put down. I left it open so that you could put your one of the verses that you like, that what He wanted and what helps you. Of course, He also wanted to be delivered from His oppressors.
Well, and I also put He didn't want to be ashamed.
He didn't want to be ashamed. Yes, that went around or wrong with His integrity. He wanted to hold His integrity and not be ashamed. Very good, Susan. Anyone else? Number 5. In these verses, 12b, 26b, 33a, 64, 66, 68, many more, and the ones that I have, the psalmist begs God. He begs Him to teach him His word. Verse 35 says, make me walk in the path of your commandments. Okay. B. How does he expect God to do this in this psalm? The teaching, to have him walk in the way, how does he expect God to do it?
Through His word.
Through His word. All right. We've got to get it. Don't ever let that get out of your mind. Don't let anyone get you to not think that is the truth. Okay. Is there any other way to know God's will for us today outside Scripture? And if so, give a Scripture. And then give a Scripture for why you believe that. Anybody got a Scripture for how we do it outside Scripture? I could give you a few, but we're not going to have a lesson on that. And it's not verifying that you can do it some other way. It's what the false teacher says. Okay. Did anyone put down a Scripture?
Psalm 119.
If nobody else put down anything else, you better put down Psalm 119. Psalm 19. All those, you know, okay. But what about 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 16? We're not going to read all of it. But in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul goes to great length to say something very important to these Christians. Of course, we have Acts 2. We have all that. But in 1 Corinthians 2, starting with verse 4, he talks about this message by the Holy Spirit that he is giving to them. And my preaching, we're not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. But let's not stop there, because someone would say, aha, you see, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, gives you wisdom. Let's, you know, okay. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him, for to us, the apostles, Paul included, verse 10 of chapter 2, revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Verse 12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught in human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Verse 14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. 15. But he who is spiritual wants to know, wants to seek truth, wants to know what God says, appraises all things. Yet he himself is appraised by no one, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we will instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. The apostles were promised by Christ to be led into all truth. And they went out and they preached it and they wrote it down. In Ephesians 3:4, when we read, we can understand what the will of God is. There's no other way to know God's will outside Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:15, it gives us everything that we need. John 20 says, these things were written that you may know that Christ is the Son of God, and then knowing and have life in his name. So that leads to a question that I put on your list. When we sing prayers like, mold me, lead me, we sing them all the time, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, make me a servant. That's a favorite for some to lead. How do you expect God to answer?
Do His word.
Now, that being said, you want to be a better servant. You pray about it. You sing about it, which is a prayer. What you're going to have to do? Okay. Let me ask you this. Do you think that maybe when we ask God that, that there might be, by providence, some opportunities that arise that may give us an opportunity to do that, to teach, to serve. But we're going to have to meditate on God's word. We're going to have the heart. We're going to have to pray about it. And last of all, we're going to have to go do it. What else does God give us besides opportunity to help us in this? Okay, first apostles, teachers, elders, pastors, you know, those things in Ephesians. He gave us a church. He gave us fellow Christians to build us up, to teach us, to bring us along. Hey, you want to go with me to go visit somebody? Through His Word. But God gives us opportunities. God gives us helpers. But most of all, God gives us His Word and His promises. Any thoughts? One other thing. Because all of us have had aches and pains and sickness and health issues and loved ones with health issues. Does God expect more of us than what He knows we can give? No. We're not going to be judged on what so-and-so did, but our attitude and what we do and how we trust Him to help us in all those things. And we will stop there. Let's do six right quick, and that will be... No, we'll start with six. We'll start with six next time. We don't want to go over. So we have 6 through 14, and that will finish up our prayers, and we'll see from there whether we will continue one more week on the vows and stuff, but we'll see how that goes. Any thoughts about the lesson today?